Okay. Now it's time for the leader, which is me, to qualify. Oh, this is just, okay. We ask, I'm reading this to myself, apparently. We ask that you keep the focus on the recovery in the 12-step program. Overeaters Anonymous qualify until 9:30. You will get a 5-minute warning.
I'll give you a warning.
Oh, okay. Okay, is it all right if I sit? I'm all over the stand. You don't have to see me. Okay, my name is Bobby, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. Hello, Michael. You looked at me like you didn't know me. I have been, it's wonderful to be here. I got to say, even though I just explained to Kathy how I mainly go to Zoom Hollywood Squares OA meetings, it really is wonderful to see people that I know in person. It really is. So, getting the qualification business out of the way, I have been Overeaters Anonymous for 50 years. And through the grace of God, one day at a time, last September, I had a birthday I celebrated, through God's grace, 49 years of abstaining from compulsive overeating. Thank you. Thank you. I say that because everybody seems to get the numbers out of the way. And when I first came to Overeaters Anonymous, I started in New York 100 years ago. But I sat at a beginner's meeting, and I remember what I wore. I remember specifically at that time, and I'll go back in a minute. I think I had binged when I got there, and I said to myself, well, what is that person? How is that person explaining Overeaters Anonymous and the 12-step program? And, well, are they abstinent? So I like to get the numbers out of the way. Okay, so long-timer, old-timer, however you want to say it. I really say old-timer because I am an old-timer. Long-timer seems so formal. So I'm going to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I think I was always a compulsive overeater. I think I was born a compulsive overeater. I had an issue with food in kindergarten, in first grade. I come from a family of four. I grew up in the Midwest on a farm, a dairy farm. It was wonderful. Two older brothers, a sister, a dairy farmer father, and I was always afraid. And it's amazing how I remember this. I was always afraid there wasn't going to be enough food for me because I was the littlest. So the littlest doesn't need to eat that much. So I was always eating whether I was hungry or not. Was I hungry? Was I not? What is that? I just ate. I would come home from school and I would have a snack. My snack was a sandwich. A big sandwich. This is before dinner, by the way, okay? Mm-hmm. A big sandwich and ice cream. My mother used to buy a gallon of ice cream. I really don't eat ice cream today. But anyway, a gallon of ice cream. I'm laughing. It's not funny. And I didn't want a bowl. I would just start eating out of the gallon freaking thing. Do they make gallons anymore? I don't even know. It doesn't matter. And my mother would say, Barbara, that's my real name. Barbara, we're going to eat dinner soon. What are you doing? And I'd go, yeah, I'm a little hungry, but I'll be able to eat. And I did. I ate a regular dinner. I mean, but I had no on-off. I had no hungry thing. So I remember having a fabulous, it was a very pretty red cardigan sweater that I wore all the time in the summer. Wisconsin summers are very hot. Why did I wear that? And why do I even remember this 125 years later? I hated my arms. I hated my arms because I felt they were fat. I'm going to use the word, people who aren't Jewish, I'll tell you what it is. You know, I was zoftic. I was chunky. I wasn't obese, but I was chunky, and my sister was like this, and she could eat anything she wanted. I was eating carrots and celery at I don't know, how old are you in kindergarten? 5, 6, 7, whatever. So again, my self-worth and my self-image and my self-esteem was a little askew. It wasn't quite right. I didn't like myself. How do you not... I don't know. I'm not going to answer this question. You don't have to think about it. How did I feel that way at such a young age? I don't know. And you know what? It really doesn't matter. But these are the feelings I remember as a little girl. Okay? So I had a fabulous, amazing, may she rest in peace, aunt who lived in Milwaukee, and she was elegant, beautiful. They had money at the time. She always wore a lot of diamonds. Diamond is my birthstone, by the way. And I emulated Aunt Bess. I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to be an actress. And I was hounding my mother in Wisconsin on a dairy farm at a young age. I wanted to go to not California, interestingly enough. I have no idea. I wanted to go to New York. Maybe the stage. Oh, I know why. Hello. Just dawned on me. She would do plays. In the Jewish theater. So plays, theater, New York, Broadway, blah, blah. So my mother said, well, okay, you can go, but you have to go a year to college. So I went a year to college. I was in every play. And then I moved to New York. And, of course, I went to drama school. And what do when you're a drama person? You get a job as a waitress, as they do in California. And you still do 1,000 years later. And I was very good. I always got along with the managers. They were cute. I was cute. I dated them. I lied to get out of closing my station so I could go stuff my face and eat. And I was really good. I still am a good actress. But anyway, so my life didn't... I had a high school... I was very popular in high school, okay? Even though I was covering up with the sweater and I felt like crap inside or zero self-esteem, I had boyfriends. I was in the popular group. You know, in high school, I don't know if they have them anymore. They have cliques. I don't know if they call them cliques. The popular girls and the not popular girls. I was sort of in the popular, but I was a nice person, so I was always feeling badly for the not popular people. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So my mother let me move to New York when I was 19. I went to drama school. I was a waitress. I did go on auditions, and my life, I'm mentioning all this probably because my life really didn't become unmanageable until I was... you know, starting to gain weight in that damn restaurant because my disease, which I didn't know at the time, was getting worse. And I would get auditions. I just was miserable when I would get an audition. Why was I miserable? I was miserable because I was getting bigger, more zoptic, if you will. Again, I was never, shut up, stop laughing, Kathy. I was never obese, but zoptic, that's the best word I can use. I really hated myself. I had no self-esteem, no self-worth. And by the way, let me mention that at that point in time, I was in my early 20s, I met an alcoholic. I fell in love with an alcoholic. We lived together, and that was a separate story, but I just wanted to mention that because I went to Al-Anon, too, at the time in New York City. So I would go to these auditions. I would go in the room, look around the room, see all the competition, and I would panic. I just spent two and a half hours getting ready to go to the damn audition, and I was petrified. Did I have any self-worth or self-esteem? Absolutely not. Okay. So, fine. That's the way I was living my life, eating, living, eating, fearful, hating myself. I was surviving. I wasn't living really at all. Happy, joyous, and free. You know that term? Happy, joyous, and free, as we hear in this magnificent program. So one night I was binging, and I saw this program on television. For you West Coast people, you may not have heard this name. David Susskind had a talk show. And this group of people was on the David Susskind show. P.S. That's how I discovered. They were talking about Overeaters Anonymous based on 12-step AA. I went. Like I said, I binged before I got there. I stood up and I said, hello. I said, after I went to the beginner's meeting, it was a threefold disease, spiritual, emotional, and physical. And I'm thinking, no. I stood up and I said, they introduced yourself as a beginner. I said, well, my name is Bobby, and I'm just having a little bit of an issue with a threefold disease. I don't really think I have a threefold disease. I just have an eating issue. I mean, I like to eat. Hello? I mean, binges, stuffing myself. Okay, we all know the drill of how this is a progressive disease, and it gets worse. It doesn't get better. So after, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months, I did pull together some abstinence, and I it's on off. Sponsors fired me all over the place, because I was just talking the talk. I wasn't walking the walk. So finally, what really kind of was the, I believe, a godsend, I got elected to lead that, be the secretary of that meeting, and other consequently. But and I thought, well, you know, I'm very vain, ha, superior inferior complex. I can't go to meetings and be binging. So, you know, I white knuckled it, and I was the secretary of that meeting. And then one day, after a year, I had a binge, and it was a God shot. It was a spiritual awakening. Feeling one more time disgusted with myself, angry that I would pray for the willingness every day for abstinence, and then, you know, an hour later, I was off to the races. That day, it was like, I cannot do this anymore. I don't want to binge. I don't want to feel this way, like living in hell. It was like suicide to me. I mean, I was alive, but suicide. It was life or death. It became, at that point, September 2nd, 1974, literally life or death. So the journey has been, fabulous. Absolutely freaking fabulous. I'm going to keep this clean because I'm being recorded. It's a journey of, so now, current, today, I don't know how much time I have left. It is absolutely, for me, it is a gift. I am blessed. I say this because no matter what life gives me today, I am abstinent. I want to be abstinent. That is a gift from a higher power whom I choose to call God. Food for today, don't get me wrong, I love still to eat abstinent food, of course, but it's not as important as it used to be. I'm old. I have a birthday coming up next month, which, by the way, is also an issue for me. The number is a big issue for me, but I'll get over it. Why? Because I have so much to be grateful for. I live happy, joyous, and free. Happy is free from fear, joyous, living in gratitude, free of the obsession. I do not have the obsession today with food. Why? Because it is a gift from my higher power that one day at a time, I want to walk the walk, I want to talk the talk, I want to show up, suit up, as somebody who lives on the West East Coast says now, I want to suit up, show up, and live life. And pray. Oh, pray. That's it. That's what I do. I live with, in the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Today, just for today, I got married. I got to mention that because I go to Al-Anon. I still go to Al-Anon. Amazing gift from God that I get the willingness from a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. I believe that there is a power greater, bigger than me. I like my will. I want to control. Could you just do it, particularly my husband, but No. My husband Randy does things Randy's way, and that's okay because I go to Al-Anon now. And one day at a time, life on life's terms. And it's fabulous. I'm not surviving anymore. I look in the mirror. I like what I see most of the time. You know, I like myself. I love myself some days. I'm not living in hate. I have self-worth. I have self-esteem one day at a time. Is it perfect all the time? No. What the heck is perfect? I don't even know what I used to be a perfectionist. If I couldn't do it perfect, I didn't want to do anything. That's not the way I live my life today. I'm human. I make mistakes. Do I have fear? Does fear come up in my life? Yes, of course it comes up. I pray. I turn to a step. I turn to the 11th step. I turn to steps 1, 2, and 3. I read the big book. Food. I have neutrality, the big book. I'm thinking words of big book. It's not an issue. It's not an issue. I also eat 2 meals a day because, to be honest, as an older person, and I do mean old, I'm not hungry like I used to be. When I first came to program, they had food plans, gray sheet, orange sheet, gray sheet. And I'm telling you, I had every ounce of food from that. 4 ounces of protein, 2 cups of salad at night. Cups of salad? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, I was packing that freaking salad down. My salads, swear to God, were like this. Were like this. I'm showing a very large body image of the size of California. Not so much today. I like my moderate meals. I do still weigh and measure a few things. Protein, when I go out, that's not an issue. I eat anything in moderation. Again, I have a threefold disease. I know that for today, God's will for me, which is what I learned a long time ago, is for me to be abstinent no matter what, or sober eating, whatever other people call it. I call it from 50 years ago, abstaining from compulsive overeating, abstinence. I have a threefold disease, and I do not forget that. I don't take it for granted. I am blessed because God blesses me with the willingness to want to feel everything that's going on in my life. Okay? Not run away, not sabotage, not numb myself, not feel like crap so I don't escape, so I don't have to feel my feelings. I want to feel my feelings, okay? And I'm grateful and I'm blessed because of that. And again, I know I'm sitting here and these words are coming out of my mouth, but I believe it is a power greater than myself that is giving me the gift of life with Overeaters Anonymous. With Overeaters Anonymous. It's not my religion, but it's like my religion. I live, as I said. So I also want to mention that, as I said, I got married, which I never thought I would do. Never, ever in my entire life did I think I would get married. And what I've discovered in Overeaters Anonymous, or I found out in Overeaters Anonymous, is I didn't get married until I was 50. Hello? 50. Frickin' 50. That's older. It's not old. And I hear young people say, oh, I'm 37 and I'm 33. I'm old. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. I was fucking... I'm sorry. I was 50. And 5 minutes. And here's the gift. The gift again. I was looking out there to have somebody love me. You. If you think I'm worthy, whatever your darling name is, if you think I'm worthy, then I must be worthy of love because you are giving it to me. Hell no. Coming to Overeaters Anonymous, being abstinent, working the program, 11th step, 6 and 7, doing an inventory, turning it over, trusting a higher power. I pray all day long. I've learned to love myself. It has to start with me. loving my, liking myself, having a good day, whatever the heck you want to call it. You know, I love my husband. My husband loves me. But you know what? I feel really good when I look in the mirror and go, you know, thank you, God, at the end of the day for an abstinent day. I didn't run away. I faced my life. I showed up for my life. It's glorious. It's absolutely magnificent. I turn to higher power for everything. I keep saying that. I do want to mention that, you know, life on life's terms. A year and a half ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And, you know, because of this program, I had a double mastectomy. I am perfectly fine now. I am telling you that, I know this is going to sound strange, that was a gift when I was diagnosed with that, because what it made me do is surrender even deeper. Surrender every appointment that I had, and I will never forget this. I thank God every day that I'm cancer free. I thank God that I had the willingness to surrender all those frickin' appointments that you have to go to. And there's a lot of appointments. It was 3 months from when I got diagnosed to when I actually had the surgery. And in between, there's a lot of appointments, okay? And I have other friends that are going through something similar. And I get to say, you know what? You take it one day at a time, 1 second at a time, 1 step at a time. And if someone in program, I say, and I surrendered every single appointment, I would say, thy will, not mine, be done. And here I am today, cancer-free, and the strength and the gift of willingness to show up for it was only from a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity. Okay, that was the deal. I've been getting mammograms for over 60 years. Well, no, not 60 years. I don't know when you start mammograms. Over 20 years. And it was like, huh? What? Okay. I can do this. 1 minute at a time. So I'm going to wrap up and say, I am still, after all these years, amazingly grateful to be a member of Overeaters Anonymous. I didn't get there. I mean, this journey is 50 years, okay? So it's a journey that I intend to stay on for the rest of my life, abstinent today, one day at a time, because I like living happy, joyous, and free with the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you. Okay, this is the time for questions only. There is no sharing at this meeting. If you need to share, please do so with any one of us after the meeting. Also, please remember that the opinions of the leaders are my own and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. When asking questions, you need not identify yourself. Please remember, if you ask a question, your voice may be audible on the OA podcast. Leader, please reinstate the question after it is asked. And we go until 9:50. You will have a 5-minute warning. Okay, Kathy.
How'd you meet your husband?
Okay, this is not terribly OA related, but blind. How did I meet my husband? Blind date. And it was terrible. It was a terrible month. I mean, he was a nice guy, but, I mean, he was so self-absorbed. And I'm a very direct person, and he, 2 seconds of the, and we had a nice dinner, and all he did was talk about himself. That's all, I swear to God. And after like an hour of that, I said, you know, I don't think we're going to get together again, because all you do is talk about yourself. I mean, I said it out loud. And I said, you know, I told you. And he goes, well, I don't want to pry. What are you talking about? I'm asking 1,000 questions. Yeah. What's your favorite color? I mean, not what's your bank account number. I mean, a guy, sorry, guys, I used to hear that a lot, you know. How come you don't ask any questions of mine? Oh, no, I don't want to pry. P.S. We're married. It'll be 23 years.
He came through.
It was meant to be. It came through, and he did. He came. Hi.
I'm Taylor. Also over here,
Hi, Taylor. Yes.
You spoke a few times about threefold disease, or it's a three something disease. It's just not a term I'm familiar with.
Okay.
Explain
what threefold disease. Okay. Okay, when I came in 50 years ago, they talked about it was a threefold disease: spiritual, emotional, and physical. Okay, so that's why I believe. All right, for me, and again, Taylor, this is my definition. I mean, I'm sure Michael might have a different definition. I have a spiritual malady that how I manifest it is I used to abuse myself with food. So food was the physical manifestation of my disease. Emotionally, I was fearful. I hated myself. I was a piece of crap on the earth. And if I believe that there's a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity, God wants me to have higher power. God wants me to have a nice life, a life not turning back to the physical manifestation of my disease, where I binged, had enormous quantities of food. Not really, I mean, I wasn't hungry. I was escaping from my life, escaping from myself. I don't know why, I didn't like who I was. So that's why it's the steps. Do an inventory, turn it over, you know, maybe find out the why of how I got that way. And again, I didn't know any of that till I got into Overeaters Anonymous. And as I said, I don't turn to the physical part of the threefold disease. And it talks about, bless you, is it the big book where it's a three-legged stool, okay? The stool has got, okay, here's the stool and there's three legs here. If one leg is not working right, it's gonna fall. And I did fall over. I fell out of life, if you will. I wasn't living my life at all, because I believe today, I still believe after 50 years and no desire to compulsively overeat, binge, I ask for the willingness every day for spiritual, emotional, and physical abstinence. I can be physically abstinent, I'll just say, but if I am a real witch to my husband, you know the other letter B that I want to put there instead, or not a decent, kind person in the world, considerate, polite, that's not to me, that's, again, just my words, that's not being emotionally or spiritually abstinent. Oh, I'm physically abstinent, but I am a real not nice person. So that's why I use threefold disease for all levels to be abstaining. Abstaining from being rude, nasty, cheat, lying, resentful, controlling. You know, I can keep going. Did that answer the question? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Julie.
Thank you, Bobby. So throughout the year, has the road ever gotten narrower for you? And if so, how?
Yeah. And, I mean, yes. Oh, has the road gotten narrower? Yes, in a way. And here's why. I've been retired 9 years, okay? I'm doing pretty well at this. I used to still pursue stuff, I'll just leave it at that, in the entertainment industry, and right now there's not a lot going on for me. Not big stuff, just little stuff. And lately I'm having to remember that, again, it's not what's out there in the world, my label of my job, or how important I am somewhere, wherever that is, to define me. I I never went through that before. When I had a job, I mean, I kind of was like defined by my job and where I worked and the salary that I made and how much, don't laugh, please, shopping I could do. You know, the road is narrower. Now I have to go deep within and say, what else can I do that makes me feel good about me? And that's it. I don't care what other people think about. It's me. And the hardest person to please in the world is me. Because between this year and this year, I can still be doing. I don't do this much anymore. I don't beat up on myself like I used to 24/7 before I got to program. I accept myself. It's progress, not perfection. Whatever my life is today, if all I can do is remain abstinent, that's my number one issue. And go work out, because I love to work out, and go get a coffee and talk to a couple of people on the phone in program. No, I didn't cure cancer, and I didn't solve the world crises, which I wish we could all do. To me, that's my road getting narrower. More introspection of what's going to make me happy and feel good about me living in the world and being a part of the out there. Does that make sense? Yes.
Can you talk more about your relationship with your sponsor once you got one that stuck, and then also if you sponsor yourself, how you sponsor your
sponsor?
Repeat the question.
Oh, yeah. What's my relationship with my sponsor? I don't have a sponsor. God is my sponsor. I haven't had a sponsor in quite a few years. I make calls if I'm feeling a little cuckoo about, you know, a job or, you know, I didn't get the job. What I do is you get submitted for something and then you either get picked or you don't. And talk about needing to have. So I pray. I literally pray 24/7, or thanking God for everything that happens to me. And the way I sponsor is the way that this magnificent, the last sponsor I had in New York, again, so I'm going back a few years, she was very gentle. She was very gentle. It wasn't because if she did, I'd be out the door and probably binging my brains out. She was very gentle. She would just suggest things. And that's how I, that's, and my sponsee is absolutely perfect for, we're perfect for each other in my life, because she says to me, you know, Bobby, if this is how you'd want to tell me what to do, and if you don't call at 6:30, and if you call at 6:31, that's it, you're fired. I don't react to those kind of rules strict like that. It's a very gentle, it's guidance, it's sharing my experience, strength, and hope. It's talking about the steps, how I live the steps, just sharing my experience, strength, and hope, and using the word prayer and higher power a lot, because that's how I need to live my life today, one day at a time. Does that make sense?
Thank you, Bobby. Can you tell me what you struggle with still?
What do I struggle with that keeps kicking my butt? I mean, okay. I'm going to be very honest. Why not? What the heck? I'm at home. I have to find my purpose. My purpose. I don't like what's going on in the world, and again, that has nothing to do with me. It is what it is, and the horrors that is going on in the world. I'm not saying I want to fix the world, because I know I can't. That's up to others, and I put it in my God column. I have a God column, and I have a me column of what I'm in charge of, which is basically myself. Okay, not my husband, not any person, place, or thing, situation, but me. Okay, and I do my purpose. I'm struggling with that a little bit now. Some days I'm fine. Otherwise, what is my purpose in the world, in this in the world now, today? Again, because I don't have an outside something or a job, because what I do is kind of fun. And I go to a studio and I'm on a set and blah, blah. Oh, it's fun. It's fun. I don't want that to define me. Are you guys going to think less of me because I didn't get that job? I do struggle with that a little bit, but better, because I pray for knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out. And I'll tell you, God's will for me today is I don't have any jobs after 4 months. All right, okay, I'm just saying, after 4 months of the strike being over, I don't have a job. I haven't had a job. Oh, I've had one job. And it has to be okay within me. And I do struggle with that a little. I want it to be my will, not God's will. Did I mention that? I'd like things to go my way. It doesn't go my way. It goes the way it's meant to go. Life on life's terms. Hence, I pray a lot and ask for the willingness to let go and let God today. Janet. Okay.
What is your routine, if you have one?
Oh, it's different every day. Oh, the question was, what is my routine every day? Good question, Janet. Mainly, I do go walking. I should go to but I love walking out. I mean, my exercise, I feel good after I exercise. I always feel good after I exercise. And then it's just, if I have an appointment, whether it's a doctor's appointment or a self-care appointment or whatever it is, or getting together with a friend or socializing, going to a meeting, it's different every day, and I'm grateful.
In the program.
Oh, you didn't say that. I start before I... Did she say that? Because I didn't hear you say... You said, what's your routine of the day? Okay, what is my routine for program? Okay, before I open my eyes, I'm in bed, I start praying. I said it earlier, I ask for spiritual, emotional, and physical abstinence. I get my butt out of bed early. I'm an early person. 9 years, just because you're retired, you don't have to stay in bed till noon, for God's sake. I read four or five readers every morning. Every morning, that is how I start my day. And if I need to make phone calls, I have to schedule some time to return phone calls, because I do like to call people back and I want to call. I read the big book at night. I never used to do that, but I'm doing that more. The longer I'm in, I tend to read the same pages because they're highlighted in yellow and red and pink. But I just need to be reminded over and... Not that I forget. I just love the words. I love the words in the big book, whatever page it is. And I do that every day. I start every single day turning to God and turning to literature and prayer. Every day.
You're
yes. Hi.
So, much for share. So in 49 years, you've gone through a lot of life cycles and body changes. When you hit like that midlife time, was there a time where you really had to let go of what your body looks like, what the skin is doing, what the body is doing? I'm asking for a friend.
When did I have to? What's the question?
Did you ever have to let go of what your body is?
Yes. Oh, did I ever have to let go of what my body looked like? Oh my God. Yes. Yes, I did. I'm not the number on the scale. By the way, when I first came into program 50 years ago, you're only supposed to weigh yourself once a month. I think. Maybe you weren't supposed to weigh yourself at all. I don't know. I didn't. I didn't for many, 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 many years, because the number on the scale would rule my life. Okay? Would rule my life. Okay, fast forward to today. I'm the lowest I've ever been in 50 years. Okay? I like it. Why? Because I feel... And each person is different. I feel good at this weight. when we go out to dinner for birthday or anniversary, you know, maybe I'll have a glass of wine and maybe we split a dessert, not a whole dessert, we split a dessert, I get on the scale the next day, and I'm very conscious of the fact that I know if we've gone to a nice restaurant and it's going to be a different meal than when we have my protein and my vegetables and my fruit at home. Of course, it's much more delicious in a restaurant. It's different, and I'm okay. Why? Because I'm abstinent. Whatever the meal is I had that night, the night before, for birthday anniversary, I'm just saying, I'm okay, and I know that I am not the number on that scale. I'm me. It's just a number. And if I want to get it back down to where I feel comfortable and like how I feel in my body, I just cut back. I don't have a dessert. I don't have bread. I go back to gray sheet, which was protein, vegetable, and fruit. Does that make sense? Okay. Hello, young man.
Thanks for your wonderful share. I'm so happy your parents are free. And thanks for giving us self-absorbed men a chance.
Yes!
You talk so well about what your program is like now, and you talk about what it was like when you came. Like, can you talk at all about what your program looked like when you were like 6 or 7 years in to abstinence?
Really? You want me to talk?
First, can you read your journals?
I did.
What did it look like? As opposed to what it looks like?
Struggle. I mean, I was abstinent, and I was struggling. By that I mean, and I have a minute to talk, because I'm supposed to stop at 9:50. Struggle in the sense of, yes, very simple. Sometimes, and even to this day, I talk the talk, but I'm not walking the walk. And I don't mean with the food. Emotionally, spiritually, I haven't turned it over. I'm still in fear. I'm still in anxiety. I'm still trying to control the situation. I do that much, 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 much less today. I surrender to God's will, thy will be done, much faster than I ever used to today. Make sense?